Thank you very much, Hal. You know, Hal accused me of not looking nervous before. That's not the truth. It's one of those things I have a lot of trouble with. You see, when I used to play clubs before, it took me 10 years to get my nose off of the piano. I used to have it down. Each year, I gradually rose. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of trouble with that on opening nights because I'm a target. You see, I'm really so frightened that I'm paralyzed. And everybody finds me. I'd like to start off with some song from Wildcat. But before I do, I would like to tell you a little bit about how it was written. You see, when we first wrote Wildcat, it was the first show for Carolyn Lee and myself. And we were naturally a little nervous about meeting Lucille Ball, and imagine my surprise when she was nervous at meeting us. And we sat at the piano, and she was a little nervous about singing, and we kind of stared at each other. And we just couldn't break it, and we just kept staring, and so forth. And we started to write an opening number for her, and we couldn't find one because, you know, you started to get that panic about what are you going to do for Lucille Ball in the first number when she starts off in a musical. And you want it to land, naturally. Well, we went for 3 weeks, and I was writing Warmed Over Ethel Merman. And I just couldn't get any place. And finally, Carolyn, in desperation, looked at me and said, well, if it wasn't Lucille Ball, Si, if it was just somebody that was just playing the part and you didn't care, I said, Carolyn, I said, if it wasn't Lucille Ball, I would write something as simple as da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun. So she said, ha-ha, but we're not going to do that. We've just had a pop hit. You know, we're sophisticated writers. We're not going to write anything like that. Well, about 2 days later, she called me up and she said, you know that funny little melody you had? She said, well, I got 4 funny little lines. And they went, hey, look me over, lend me. And then we broke up and we said, oh, no, but we're not going to use that. Well, anyway, it's like the old story. You've seen this a million times in Senator George Murphy's movies. We went to the publisher and we played him a tune called Tall Hope, which we were very excited about, some other tune, and then we said, say, you want to hear something funny? And we started playing him Hey, Look Me Over, and, you know, cash registers came out of his nose and bulbs started to light up, and he said, that's it, that's it. And that's how it came to be written, and I'd like to do it for you. Hal is perfectly right. I am constantly frustrated at not being able to go into jazz clubs and play. So I've arranged to play a chorus in between. Nobody in the world was ever without a prayer. How can you win the world if nobody knows you're there? Kid, when you need the crowd, the tickets are hard to sell. Still you can lead the crowd if you can get up and yell, hey, look me over, lend me an ear. Fresh out of clover, mortgage up to here. But don't pass the plate, folks, don't pass the cup. I figure whenever you're down and out, the only way is up. And I'll be up like a rose, but high on the vine. Don't thumb your nose, bud, take a tip from mine. I'm a little bit short of the elbow room, so let me get me some. And look out, world, here I come. Follow along, he says, and paint him a rosy view. Sing him a song, he says, and sing him a song we do. Loud as a chanticleer and jittery as a hen. Ready to whoops, my dear, but here we go again. Hey, look me over, lend me an ear. Fresh out of clover and I'm mortgaged up to here. Don't pass the plate, folks, don't pass the cup. High on the vine. Don't thumb your nose, bud. Take a tip from mine. I'm a little bit short of the elbow room. Let me get me some. And look out, world. Hear me shout, world. Hey, look out, world. Here I come. Am I on? Thank you. By the way, I'd like, you can hear, can't you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to add that Hey, Look Me Over has been used in all the campaigns across the country. That's political. And as a matter of fact, there was an article in the New York Times and the Weekly Variety. And it attributed part of Senator Bai's success over K-pop to the little jingle they were singing that acquainted the voters with his name. And it's been used for shampoos, beer, cigarettes. But it's a very good, we had it in New York. I think we weren't very partisan about it. We used Democrats and Republicans, both used it. And let me see now. What I'd like you to know is that it's available. I was fortunate to have a show right after that, not quite after that. It was called Little Me, and it played here also. And I was sorry I missed the production. I understand it was a wonderful production with Bruce Forsyth. And we had a seduction number in there called I've Got Your Number, which I'd like to do for you. Got no time for me. You've got big things to do. Well, my sweet chickadee, I've got hot news for you. I've got your number. I know you inside out. You ain't no Eagle Scout. You're all at sea. Oh, yes, you'll brag a lot, wave your own flag a lot, but you're unsure a lot, you're a lot like me, and I've got your number, and what you're looking for, and what you're looking for just suits me fine. We'll break the rules a lot. We'll be damn fools a lot. But then why should we not? How could we not combine? When I've got your number and I've got the glow you've got, I've got your number. And baby, you know you've got mine. Now, this was the seduction. Got the glow you've got. I've got your number. And baby, you know you've got mine. Thank you. I'd like to do another number from Little Me, which I thought would be very apropos, and I'll tell you why. It's called Real Live Girl. And the reason I'd like to do it is because when we had the New York production of it, Real Live Girl was not a hit. We tried very hard, but it was not a hit. When the English company opened with Bruce Forsyth, Real Live Girl became a hit here. As a result of that, it traveled across the Atlantic, and we had a hit in the United States. So we felt very good about that, needless to say. It kind of saved a lot of things, including a vacation. But I'd like to do it for you. Pardon me, miss, but I've never been kissed by a real life girl. Straight off the farm with an actual arm full of real live girl. Pardon me if your affectionate squeeze fogs up my goggles and buckles my knees. I'm simply drowned in the sight and the sound and the scent and the feel of a real life girl. Girls were like fellas, was once my belief. What a reversal, and what a relief. I'll take the flowering hat and the towering heel and the squeal of a reel. Thank you very much. Currently in New York, I fortunately have a show running that's selling tickets. And it's called Sweet Charity, as Hal told you before. And I collaborated with Dorothy Fields, and it's been a wonderful collaboration. The way Dorothy Fields and I met was at a songwriter's meeting at her house, and I cornered her between the divan and the coffee table, and I said, would you like to write with me? And she said she would, and that's the way it all started. But I'd like to give you, by the way, it's in about 8 months, I believe. I think it's about 8 months. I believe it's coming here. And I'd like to give you a little preview of it. We have, I don't know how many of you have seen the Fellini film Knights of Cabiria, but it's loosely based on it. However, our girl is a dance hall girl, and she works in a dance hall, and we have a number where all the girls line up, and they've got their feet over the railings, they're under it, over it, and they're staring right out at the audience with blank faces. And they're giving them a bit of the come on, and they're singing like this. The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. Say, wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every guy I see. Hey, big spender, spend a little time with me. Oh, would you like to have fun, fun, fun? How's about a few laughs, laughs? I can show you a good time. Let me show you a good time. The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. Say, wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every guy I see. Hey, big spender. Thank you very much. I hope you didn't mind me soliciting a few tickets. There's our big ballad in this show, which is the moment of self-revelation. Before I do it, I'd like you to know that, you know, in the theater today in New York, there's, the means that we have of promoting a show are not just limited to what goes on the stage and the usual amount of publicity. A very big part of promoting a show is radio and records. So what we do is we try to get the best artist that we can to sing the song that you have. And this particular song, we were very fortunate. We had gotten to record this, one of the greatest recording artists of our country and possibly of all time. And we were just very happy about it, and I'd like to do this song for you. It's called Where Am I Going?
That I call my mind. What am I doing alone on the shelf? Ain't it a shame, but no one's to blame but myself. Which way is clear? What do I see? My music. When the folks here asked me to sing, I had to pick a songs or a song that I wanted to do, and it was a very hard decision because I don't mean to brag, but our country really has produced some terrific music, and but I was looking for one hunk, you know, of music that would sort of represent or embody, express, you know, sort of capture America. And so I decided that would be, for me anyway, George Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. For George. And when you think of it, I mean, in terms of its many facets, being a folk opera, having the influence of the American Negro blues, spirituals, jazz, pop music, and grand opera. Also with a little trace of Georgie's own Russian Jewish background. I think that it sort of represents America, which is a beautiful mishmash. That's it, kid. With me, 'cause the things that I prize, like the stars in the skies, are all free. Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got no car, I got no mule, I got no misery. Rich and your ma is is good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. Someday I know he's coming back to call me. He's gonna handle me and hold me so. It's gonna be like dying Porgy deep inside me. But when he calls, I know I have to go. I loves you. Take me, don't let him handle me and drive me mad. If you can keep me, I want to stay here with you forever, and I'd be glad. Loves you, Porgy. Don't let him take me. Don't let him handle me and drive me mad. If you can keep me, I want to stay here with you forever. Necessarily so, it ain't necessarily so. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. Methuselah lived 900 years. Methuselah lived 900 years. But who calls that living when no gal had given to no man what's 900 years? I'm preaching this sermon to show that it ain't Nessa, ain't Nessa, ain't Nessa, ain't Nessa, ain't necessarily so. Porgy, as your woman now, I is, and I ain't never going. Footsteps. climbing up the stairs. Old man sorrow's come to keep me company, whispering beside me when I say my prayers. Ain't that I mind working? Work and me is travelers journeying together to the promised land. Old man sorrow marching all the way with me, telling me I'm old now since I lose my man. Since I lose my man. Old man sorrow sitting by thing, morning, noon, and evening, that I'm all alone now since my man is dead.
This evening is supposed to be a very informal history of the American Musical Theater, which is part of the Festival of American Arts and Humanities. Well, I suppose that's one way of promoting Anglo-American relations. in my own little small way, I'm interested in doing the same thing. You see, I'm planning to throw a party the night that Funny Girl closes for all the people involved. And I'm having it catered by Nathan's Hot Dogs in Coney Island. And because I believe in the old theory that the quickest way to the brain is through the stomach. And if, for any of you who don't know how to get to Nathan's, you drive up to Cornwall and you keep going until you get to Brooklyn. And if you make it, you'll deserve one. But I think that the problem goes deeper than relationships between one country and another. I mean, after all, no matter who you are or what you do or where you live, we're all just a group of people who need people, are the luckiest people in the world. We're children needing other children, and yet letting our grown-up pride hide all the need inside, acting more like children than children. Lovers are very special people. They're the luckiest people in the world. With one person, one very special person, a feeling deep in your soul says you are half, now you're whole. No more hunger and thirst. First be a person who needs people. A person who needs.